Springfield's Talk 104.1. Hello, friends. It is Tuesday. Streaming live on the new KSGF app. You can find it in your marketplace or easily go over to KSGF.com. You can find it there for whatever your device may be. So that makes it a little easier to find that app. You can stream the show. You can easily, with just the flick of a thumb, send us a text message on the Queen City Motors talking text line, or perhaps give us a call if you'd like to do that. It's all so very easy, and it will only get easier from here, I'm sure. No mask required. Don Luzader with news.
All right, good morning. Well, we are expecting, and you'll hear in the forecast, some light rain Wednesday into Thursday, but there is a chance that some of that light rain may mix with some light snow Wednesday night into Thursday morning commute. Only minor snow accumulations are expected, mainly on grassy and elevated surfaces, and that's because the temps Thursday morning will bottom out at or slightly above freezing. So the Weather Service says little to no impacts expected, but we could see our first flakes of the season. The Highway Patrol has released the name of a teenager killed in a crash Monday at Farm Road 60 and WW near Ebenezer. Troopers say Aaliyah Smith from Willard died when her car ran off the road, hit a utility pole, went through a field, and flipped. A passenger, 17-year-old Alexis Green from Willard, was rushed to the hospital with serious injuries. Troopers say neither teen was wearing a seatbelt. And a man charged with stuffing his wife's body in a freezer in Marshfield will go to trial next November. Larry Dinwiddie is charged with killing his wife, Cynthia. Court records say Dinwiddie admitted killing her with a hammer after a fight. Her body was locked in a storage unit for 4 years before authorities in Webster County found her. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast. It's going to be a sunny day, high of 50. Mostly clear down to 31 tonight. 50% chance for rain tomorrow afternoon, a high of 46. And then we've got a 50% chance of rain before 1 on Thursday, a high of 42. It's 20 and it is clear. I've watched over the last several days a study that was put together by the director of Applied Economics master's degree program, Johns Hopkins University. And I've watched it with interest because it's another one of those instances where there's a story that there's some analysis that's put out there regarding COVID. And because people like you are interpreting it wrong, see, it's being censored. Now, the study is completely and totally, I mean, this is a numbers person. This is what they do. They're just looking at numbers. And what they were looking at ultimately was how many more deaths overall have we had in the United States because of COVID? And what the findings showed, and I'm going to read through some of it without getting too deep and boring into it, that ultimately, in any significant manner, the number of deaths that have occurred overall is not really that much more than it was pre-COVID. And much of this is attributed to the fact that the largest portion of the population who lose their lives due to this are individuals that were probably, statistically speaking, in the final stages of their life anyhow, or they were past the average age expectancy. And so when you're looking at a year's window of time, there's a very good chance that pneumonia or heart disease or some other contributing factor that oftentimes is the reason COVID is fatal was going to have a fatal effect on those individuals anyhow. And so the study's put out there, and of course, a lot of people that take a look at it, they think, well, this is interesting. Well, it's immediately removed because people are using it to spread misinformation. Now, you've got to understand what they mean by misinformation. And we'll get into who the they are coming up here. They're not alleging that the study itself is inaccurate. What they allege is that when you post the article about the information, you are spreading misinformation because you are incorrectly leading people to believe COVID's not that serious. And it is that serious. And so that's where the misinformation they claim is being put out there. So this is typical for the left, though. They want to tell you what to believe. So when there is information that's put out there, you are not to have any room, and sadly, this is what's being taught in schools, a lot of schools today, the critical thinking, intellectualism. They want the depth of that, which means when there is a study that is put out there, there is no room for you to measure that. There's no room for you to look at it and think, well, this is what it means to me. You have to believe exactly what their interpretation of it is. The assistant program director of the Applied Economics Master Degree Program at Johns Hopkins University, Genevieve Briand, critically analyzed the impact of COVID-19 on U.S. deaths overall, okay? According to Briand, the impact of COVID-19 on total deaths in the United States can be fully understood by comparing it to the total number of deaths in the country. I mean, that makes sense, right? According to the study, quote, in contrast to most people's assumptions, the number of deaths by COVID-19 is not alarming. In fact, it has relatively no effect on deaths in the United States. Now, I'm going to get traffic out of the way. I'm going to go into her explanation when she looks at the numbers and how it is that, you know, she comes to that conclusion. And then, of course, we'll get into the censorship and the explanation of the censorship. And this is just America 2020, where you not how to think, but what to think. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Here's Don Luzader with traffic. Oh, we did. We got the Christmas.
Yay!
Look at that.
It's December 1st, so baby.
It. Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. My neighborhood, I know, has more lights, more outside display this year than in past.
We actually hung our Christmas lights up last night.
See, I haven't done that yet, and I think I need to start from scratch because, well, one, I have gutter guards now. This is the first year I've gutter guard, and in the past, I've used the clips that go down in the gutters, so that's not going to be possible. So I'm guessing the shingle route is good. I'm one of those, the lights, they all point in the same direction. I'm one of those people, which is the opposite of this person down the street or this family down the street where there's like a hook every 6 feet and they just kind of hook it over and it's more of a draping effect. Now, that being said, they've got all sorts of lights out and I don't right now. So, I mean, I shouldn't really be too critical of them. But yeah, and then I had a strand go out last year and so I bought another, but then they were a little different in shades of white, which I can't do that. So I think I may just have to start from scratch. I think I probably will do that. Just thought I'd share. Okay, let's get back to the program. Johns Hopkins study saying COVID-19 has relatively no effect on deaths in the U.S. And that this study was spiked after publication. So how did the author of the study, Genevieve Briand, which is not some, you know, Trump administration lunatic. She's assistant program director of Applied Economics Master's Degree Program at Johns Hopkins University. And so the ultimate conclusion was COVID-19 has had, quote, relatively no effect on deaths. So after retrieving data from the CDC website, Briand compiled a graph representing percentages of total deaths per age category from early February through September, which includes the period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after the infection rate soared. Surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts expected an increase in the percentage of deaths in older age Americans. However, this increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentages of deaths among all age groups remain relatively the same, according to the study. The reason we have a higher number of reported COVID-19 deaths among older individuals than younger individuals is simply because every day in the U.S., older individuals die in higher numbers than younger individuals. I mean, it's common sense. The analysis found that the range of deaths among the older population had remained within the same range of past years. So if COVID-19 has actually had no significant impact on U.S. deaths, why does it not appear that way? The answer to that question, or to answer that question, Brand shifted her focus to the deaths per causes range from 2019 to 2020. And what she found is there is a sudden increase in deaths in 2020 due to COVID-19, obviously. This is because COVID-19 emerged in the U.S. in early 2020, and so obviously COVID-19 deaths increased drastically afterwards. Analysis of deaths per cause in 2018 revealed that the pattern of seasonal increase in the total number of deaths is a result of a rise in deaths by all causes, with the top three being heart disease, respiratory disease, influenza, and pneumonia. She explained this is true every year. Every year in the U.S., when we observe the seasonal ups and downs, we have an increase of deaths due to all causes. Now, here's where it gets interesting. When Brand looked at the 2020 data during the seasonal period, COVID-19-related deaths exceeded deaths from heart disease. This was highly unusual since heart disease has always prevailed as the leading cause of deaths. However, when taking a closer look at the death numbers, she noted something strange. As she compared the number of deaths per cause during that period in 2020 to 2018, she noticed that instead of the expected drastic increase across all causes, there was a significant decrease in deaths due to heart disease. Even more surprising, as seen in the graph that accompanies the article she wrote, the sudden decline in deaths is observed from all other causes. Okay, so now just in terms of numbers, what the analysis found is while there's an increase in COVID deaths, that was offset by a decrease in other deaths. Now, those other deaths were the top deaths that usually occur every year: heart disease, respiratory disease, influenza, and pneumonia. The study found that the trend is completely contrary to the pattern observed in all previous years. In fact, the total decrease in deaths by other causes almost exactly equals the increase in deaths by COVID-19. So the conclusion is that the COVID-19 death toll in the United States is misleading and the deaths from other diseases are being categorized as COVID-19 deaths. Now, there's two aspects of this. One, the numbers themselves. And these are CDC numbers. Now, what to extrapolate from that? Now, as they write here, the belief is that there really hasn't been a drop in heart disease, a drop in influenza, a drop in respiratory diseases. But many of these individuals already had those underlying issues. And we've heard a lot about this when it comes to COVID, and that's part of the reason. In fact, as the discussions occur, who will get the vaccines first? And you've got the first responder categories and those that work in hospitals and so forth. But then you have these other people who suffer from these ailments. And it's because having that sort of ailment and then COVID on top of it could result in death. And when you look at that and then you see that for the very first time, there's a drop in the respiratory illness cause of death, the heart disease cause of death. This is one of those instances where the belief and common sense would lead one to believe this, that ultimately, really, the number of those cases, heart disease and so forth, didn't actually decrease, but the death, when it comes to what they attribute the death to, the COVID is overriding that, okay? Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that COVID isn't something that is bad. It doesn't mean that COVID doesn't exist. But what has happened here, and this is typical, because people view this, and people have different interpretations of this. Some people look at this and they say, well, overall, we're not seeing an increase of any significance in deaths. People who are sounding the COVID-19 alarm in terms of, this is the sort of thing that we have to change the way that we live because we've never experienced anything like this before, they interpret that to mean you don't take it serious, that you don't think it's something to be worried about. But what most people who look at these numbers and they see it as something actually, you know, maybe it brings a level of acceptance is that, well, sure, just like you worry about heart disease and you worry about respiratory diseases, you worry about influenza and pneumonia, but in a measured degree. But that isn't satisfactory to those who are out there that are, let's say, the elites, who believe that their interpretation of how you should behave is the only interpretation that should exist, which is why this study, as soon as people on social media began sharing this study, it was wiped clean, taken down. The Johns Hopkins University explained that they deleted the article on the study because it was, this is their words, being used to support false and dangerous inaccuracies about the impact of the pandemic. See, you're using this incorrectly. This is making you not as afraid. And you should be very afraid. It's a dark winter. And you might be coming to the, well, you clearly are, coming to the wrong conclusion when you look at these numbers. So here they are. And we're supposed to be a world of thinkers. You would think that Johns Hopkins University would encourage intellectualism because that's where that's how we've evolved to be where we are as a species today with technology and medicine and you know, advancements in every way is intellectualism. But instead, what they're doing is it's anti-intellectualism. Now, the managing editors at Johns Hopkins University newsletter where this was published said that this wasn't censoring. No, it's not censoring. It's not censoring at all. Quote, the article in question was retracted as it was being used to spread misinformation about the pandemic. We've preserved the article as a PDF and posted an editor's note with full clarification about our decision, highlighting the inaccuracies of the study. We were not censored, but decided to retract the article based on the reasons outlined in the editor's note. The author of the article on Brienne's study, Yanni Yu, responded to the article being pulled, saying today on November 27th, the newsletter officially posted their reason for retracting the article, stating inaccuracies in the analysis. I am frustrated at that explanation. I think it's disrespectful to Dr. Brienne's hard work putting data together and doing an honest analysis. If her analysis was to be contradicted, then at least an equal level analysis should be done to provide more data and thus a new conclusion. Doctor, see, that's intellectualism. That's how science is supposed to work. If you see a study, if you see an interpretation of numbers put out there, and you don't agree with it, then you offer up your explanation. You offer up your thoughts and your ideas with, of course, the hopes of people understanding your way as to be the truth. That is intellectualism. He went on to say, I've received many messages asking the reason for taking the article down, and so I would like to officially express my opinions here. I even got emails saying, thanks to me, people now will not be wearing masks or practicing social distancing. They call me a COVID denier and a minimizer, and that I have no idea the damage of the lives cost in me writing such an article. I was devastated to receive such accusations, but I stand my ground. The goal is never to undermine the effects of COVID-19, but to suggest a possible over-exaggeration in death numbers due to the pandemic. Professor Briand also responded to the pulling of the article, saying, quote, their decision to retract the article was their own. Yanni Gu did an excellent job at reporting the content of the presentation. The full presentation is available at COVID-19 Deaths, a look at U.S. data, YouTube. I explained during the presentation where I found and downloaded the data from so anyone can easily replicate my analysis. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I can only imagine. If you're a scientist and your goal is really just to look at the truth, look at the raw data, what does this mean? And you put it out there and others within your own profession censor it because they say people may not understand what you're trying to say. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Walter, hold on. We'll get to you on the Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed.
This time of year, you know, against government
recommendations, of course. Some of you are going to have families over to your home, and it's just so nice music. Some of you may think, you know what, our house is just too small to accommodate. Maybe it's, you know, things change over time, and maybe you're now hosting Christmas instead of your parents hosting Christmas, and so you think, well, we could, you know, we're just at that point. Maybe we could use a little extra room, or maybe just the living area should be bigger. Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate, she can find what you're looking for. She can also help you sell your home. So if you are somebody like, gosh, it seems kind of weird, all we want is a bigger living room, I mean, that's it, tell her that. Give her a call. Send her a message on Facebook, Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, and let her know what you're looking for. She's always on the lookout. In fact, some Fridays she joins us here to do a shout-out, if you will, saying, hey, anyone who's got a home in this particular area with this many bedrooms and around this many square feet, I have somebody that's moving here from such and such state, and they are looking for that home. And you may not even know until that moment that there is someone out there looking for your home. And of course, point being is if you're looking for something very specific, Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate can find it for you. So if you are looking to sell or looking to buy, Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455. And now, Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. Cox Health says 30 people have died from COVID-19 in their hospitals over the past 8 days. And the president and CEO, Steve Edwards, says things could get worse. He says the number of deaths from the pandemic could double by the end of January. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page says that county is in crisis mode as COVID-19 cases continue to rise and hospitals strain to treat patients. During a briefing Monday, Page repeated earlier warnings that the area's hospitals could run out of intensive care beds sometime this week. He also says the National Guard could be called in to help hospitals deal with the overload of patients. And that is the latest news.
One of the things I've learned, I think, is interesting, as I understand it, because you think, why would the National Guard come in? And I don't know that this is the reason, but there are different interpretations of when we talk about how many beds are available. I was reading an article on this because there was some dispute where one of the hospital associations, there was an article about the number of bed occupancy was much lower than they said it actually was, because they say the number of beds isn't actually important, but the number of staff that is able to manage the beds,
you're absolutely right,
is what's important.
Yes.
And so you can see one number that says only 40% of beds are being used, but they say, yeah, but we've got 95% of staff covering that, and they have, I'm not sure exactly how they make a decision. I'm sure it's one staff per so many patients that they say that's the number that's important, and that's why there's a discrepancy between those numbers.
Yeah, I talked yesterday with, I had a meet and greet with the president of Mercy Hospital, Craig McCoy. Sat down in his office with him for 30 minutes, just chatting. He's inviting different members of the media to come over and just talk, which is great.
Right.
Told me that he's over 100 people, I think, and I don't know the exact number, staff who are out because either of they have COVID or they're quarantining. Yeah. So when you consider some of those being nurses, and a nurse is responsible for taking care of so many patients, and think about how things have to shift to try to just pick up the extra load. So he says it is definitely an issue of staff resources over available beds.
Well, that's why Willard schools went to virtual, not to stop the spread, but as I understand it, again, via their communication to the public, it was because they were short on staff because of quarantining precautions and those that actually did have COVID. And
so that's why.
So yeah, and I don't know if that information isn't always as easily digestible, but it seems to me it gives you a better understanding of what's going on.
It does. It absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Cool. Thank you very much. All right. Did I do weather? No, I did not. Sunny today, high of 50, 31 for low tonight, 50% chance for rain tomorrow afternoon with a high of 46. Current temp is 20. Let's go to Walter. Welcome to the show, Walter.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head there. Most people don't understand the medical profession. It's now so heavily regulated. The Affordable Care Act has made healthcare out of the price range. They have beds available if they just had people, but there's certain regulations that the government puts on them that just causes all kinds of crap and stuff. Now, there are more COVID cases reported than there actually are. this is the reason why. And this is not going to set well with a lot of people. You get paid more money as a hospital if you're reported as a COVID patient than as a heart attack.
Yeah,
There have been documented cases of this. One guy got a notification that his wife had contracted COVID a week and a half after they buried her because she had a massive heart attack while she was jogging. I mean, and this is just one of thousands of stuff. And don't get me wrong, I understand greed. I don't understand, you know, why people want to profit off of the government, off of greed, because that's my money.
Well, but, you know, and one of the problems I have, and I suppose it's just I'm naturally curious. And I'm one of those people that as a kid I would put things together and take things apart. It's just that's just who I am. And so I'm constantly in my head asking questions, you know, well, what about this? Well, I don't think there's a news article anymore that I go through where I don't know why didn't they answer this question? And I think they just don't think to, you know, I don't know if people's minds just don't go to these places any longer. And so the problem we have here is that you'll have people like you, people like me, who see these things, and so we're interested in what impact does that have on the overall picture? Is it, you know, when we hear about false positives that occur, or, and I've relayed this story before, my friend who's in the industry, and the industry that provides the testing, and how in one of the high states that was testing very high, the state felt that the testing of positives was high, and so they asked for 500 unopened tests to be sent to them, and they tested the test and found 60% of them had a positive on them, and they had never even been used on anyone. So you hear stories like that, and you wonder, well, how widespread is that? The problem is the people who are in charge of, quote, like directing us through this pandemic, because they hear that and they think, oh, you just need to listen to us. Stop asking questions. And it frustrates them. It makes them angry. I've mentioned it on a couple of occasions. The CEO of Cox, I mean, who's lashed out at patients on social media. And it's because they don't want you thinking about those things, because to them, that's not what matters. It doesn't matter if you have numerous false positives. It doesn't matter if numbers are inflated because someone who dies of a heart attack while jogging tested COVID positive. And so that's listed as a COVID positive because people are dying from it. And that's all that matters. I mean, and listen, to some degree, you can understand they've been given this mission. And their mission is to tell local officials how to stop this. And so that's their tunnel vision. Do this and do that and do this. And when anyone else is coming along with issues like, you're going to close down my business, that is like, you don't understand how big of a problem this is. Now, I'll give you another example that, again, the thing is, it doesn't mean that COVID, this is where the frustration is, it doesn't mean that COVID isn't something that people should try not to get. Every time I hear these numbers and they talk about how many more, like even right now, like, oh, we got this huge surge. This many more people tested positive. Now, my natural instinct is, what is the percentage of people testing positive versus last month or the month before? Not just the number, but the percentage. So in other words, are we having more tests done as they become more readily available, which could naturally lead to an increase in the number of people that are testing positive? Is that why it's happening? Or, you know, is the percentage, let's say the percentage of people that test, 40% test positive. Is that the same as it was 2 months ago or 3 months ago? So when I just hear the numbers of people that are testing positive, to me that's irrelevant when it comes to whether or not the number of people... See, the what you're supposed to accept is that means that more people have COVID now than they did a month ago, or the increase in people, the acceleration, is greater than it was a month ago or 2 months ago. Well, unless they put out that information about how many tests, like the percentage of people testing positive versus those that test negative, the numbers, they don't tell me anything. Now, even within that, we know about the false positives as well. So there are just so many factors involved here that the intellectually curious look at and they question and they wonder. Unfortunately, they get treated like trash. They get called deniers. No, it's not denying anything. It's just an intellectual curiosity to have a better understanding. And the sad thing is, generally the people who get trashed on for quote-unquote denying are the people that are really more than anybody trying to figure out what is going on with this. Those that are constantly seeking to see, well, what do these numbers mean and what do those numbers mean and what does this over here mean compared to this? And they're just told, sit down, shut up. And I would argue that people who take that sort of position of just sit down and shut up are those who prevent us from solving these problems in a quicker fashion than we otherwise could. It's that scientific method of constantly challenging these things and questioning them and figuring out how it means that advances us, not just running around and saying, wear a mask or you're going to die. You're going to kill grandma, putting out PSAs saying, you know, like the city of Springfield or Greene County did that. Yeah, I don't know if you saw it or not, but oh, it's a very somber music, piano music, almost like what you'd hear at a funeral, and people around the table eating Thanksgiving dinner, and well, the end of the story is your dad killed grandma. You know, that sort of position. It's a turnoff to people, and it's counterproductive in many ways. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Carl, hold on real quick, and we will get to you in just about 2 minutes. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Speaking of Christmas music, Springfield Symphony Orchestra, they've got Christmas Cookies Show that's coming up December 5th. You can find more details at ksgf.com. Let's go to Carl in Willard. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Rick, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing just fine.
Hey, my son-in-law's grandmother just passed away. They buried her a week ago yesterday. She was checked 3 times for COVID. Unfortunately, she died from an untreated meningitis infection. Mm.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they're looking real hard for one thing and ignoring all else.
Well, and some of that is that tunnel vision I refer to. It's where you hear about this when it comes to law enforcement, where they are having a difficult time finding the murderer, you know, the criminal. And at some point, almost out of desperation, they'll hone in on maybe it's the husband or the wife. And then they start... instead of taking what evidence is there and following it, you know, you hear that a lot, follow the evidence, they will decide, well, this must be the person that did it. And then they will start looking for signs that they're correct. And I mean, that's a human nature thing. As human beings, we all, in a circumstance where we are needing to make some determination, can easily, naturally fall into that sort of situation. And from a human nature standpoint, I understand why it is you see a lot of these people who are tapped by governors or local government who are in the medical profession, you know, every day wanting updates and you know, well, what I need I need to be able to go out there and tell people what to do. We have that audio where Governor Cuomo is talking to a rabbi and you know, he didn't know it was being recorded, but where he said all of these closures and stuff, and he was talking specifically, I believe, about schools. He said there's no science to back that up. It just makes people feel better. We're just going out there, and we're just telling people, we're doing these things to make them feel better until we have a better idea of how to handle this and figure this stuff out. And I get that. You have people who have to update and give press conferences, whether it's local or statewide, and they need something. They have to come out. They can't just, you know, come out and go, I don't know anything more than we knew last week, so hope you don't die. They don't want to do that. And so they put pressure on these people who are in the hospitals. And at some point, there's nothing more that you can tell people to do. So then you just tell them harder. You know, it's like, well, if it's not working, that's your fault because you're not doing it. And so the blame game starts. And that's what we see, a lot of going on. But that tunnel vision aspect where, you know, oh, test for COVID. Well, let's test again. Let's test again because these symptoms are there and we know that it's everywhere. And you know, perhaps forgetting, now, of course, the specifics of that case, I don't know. But, it doesn't surprise me to hear that sort of story. Carl, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Sometimes I don't really like to spend a great deal of time talking about COVID. And in fact, I try to go days at a time and not. Just because at some point it becomes very repetitive about the different approaches and the lack of intellectualism regarding it. But that new study that came out and then the removal by John Hopkins of that study because they felt that people were misinterpreting it in a manner that did not have them worried enough about COVID. I thought that it was just... It was an example of what one of our big problems that we have in our country today and other parts of the world as well. And I just think back to the days of Galileo and where you had the official science and people like Galileo. It's what is going on today, whereas books were banned and, people in his profession, anyone who thought to study or to question stuff about the sun and the earth and the universe that was outside the official settled science on the issue. They were ostracized to where they became afraid to think intellectually and to explore these ideas. And it's really where we are today. I mean, we have been taken back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in our approach to science by many of these people. And it is not something that advances the human race in any way, shape, or form. Here's traffic with Don Luzader. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Got new apps? You can find them at KSGF.com. Also in your store, it's KSGF. Now, there are other apps out there that carry radio stations that don't have anything to do with us. Ours is pretty straightforward and simple. You open it up, and there's a few buttons, if you will. One says text, one says call, one's Facebook Live. One of them is the little play arrow that you can stream as well. And so we try to keep it pretty simple and streamlined. We got a, I just came across this question asking if I have seen or heard about the Stephen Colbert interview with Obama. Just saw a clip of it. Wow, no. I feel that Obama is just one of the most empty suits that exist out there. There is nothing that he says that I find of any interest. I think he's a spoiled, entitled brat that was elected by a media. If you look at his record in running for office prior to being anointed the Democratic nominee, it was an abysmal failure. And virtually every race he ever ran, he got people thrown off the ballot that were stronger challengers. I mean, he just has been carried through life. And there is nothing exceptional about him at all, other than he was in the unique position of being turned into American president in an American America's Got Talent style. Well, except there's no talent there. But I just view him as being so absolutely empty. I really can't stand to hardly watch him. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.